take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, a very familiar passage in the Bible. Exodus chapter 4. And when you get there to Exodus, stand with me, please, as we are going to read Exodus chapter 4, and we are going to read the first four verses of this very familiar story, a true story. Are we ready? "And Moses answered and said, 'But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.' And the Lord said unto him, 'What is that in thine hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail.' And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together, Lord. And I truly believe that we are experiencing revival here this week, right here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And to God be the glory, to you be the glory, Lord Jesus. And we just pray now, Lord, that you would, we would hear from heaven, Lord, tonight. And again, as every night, Lord, we will give you all the credit, all the praise and the glory, for it's in your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. You can be seated. Everybody wants to win in the game of life. Nobody wants to lose. I'm a very competitive person, and I love sports growing up. Before my parents made me play and practice my clarinet in my bedroom every day, I love sports. And everybody likes to win. Nobody likes to lose. You don't see any teams in the NBA championship, and it's the seventh and deciding game of the championship. And you don't hear the coach in the locker room in the NBA, in the basketball finals say, "Okay, team, this is the big one. Let's go out and blow it." You don't hear that because everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. You don't see the night of the Super Bowl, the two final teams, one from the AFC, one from the NFC, in the locker rooms, and you don't hear the coach saying, "Okay, guys, this is a big one, the Super Bowl. We made it here. It took us 16 games and so many playoff games to get here, but we're here. Let's go lose one for the Gipper." You don't hear that because everybody likes to win. Nobody likes to lose. However, if you disobeyed the rule book in basketball or the rule book in football or whatever sport it may be, if you have broken the rules, and you will be disqualified, you'll be benched, you will be kicked off the out of the game, and you will be disqualified when the game is over. It's much like that with God. This is our rule book. This is how we are supposed to play the game of life. And if you deviate from the rules, you will be benched. You will be disqualified, and at the end of life, you will be considered a loser if you do not follow God's word, our rule book. To win in sports, you have to obey the coach, and you have to play by the book. It's the same way with God. If you want to win in the game of life, you have to play by God's rules. Amen? Amen. Now, we read a very familiar passage. And it had said here, Brother King James, in the King James Bible, calls it that Moses had a rod. He called it a rod. What it was basically was a shepherd's staff. Every good shepherd had a staff, a big stick, a thick, huge stick. And so for the rest of this message tonight, we are going to put aside the King James Version here, and we are going to use the DGV version if we can. It's called the Dennis Guisdella version, okay? And from now on, Moses did not have a rod in his hand. What Moses had in his hand was a stick, okay? It's a stick, not a rod. For the rest of the message, Moses had a stick in his hand. So let me ask you all a question tonight. What did Moses have in his hand? we're going to get along just fine, right, tonight. I can already see that. Exactly. Moses had a stick. Now, a rod or a stick is anything that stops you, that stops me from loving and obeying God with all of our heart. Now, a possible discussion. Again, the Dennis Quisdella version is called the Amplified Version. Now, we see a few words that Moses had here in the first four verses. I really have to believe that there was a lot more discussion going on between Moses and God. And if you'll just bear with me and let me entertain you for a few minutes here, I think I kind of have a feeling how that conversation went between Moses and God. And I, like I said, I believe that Moses and God had a lot more discussion than just what we read in these first four verses. Now remember, Moses was just like us. He had an anger management problem. He killed the guy. I don't know if any of you all did that, but he had an anger management problem. And so we see that Moses was very much like us. He gave excuses to serving God. We read him. He said, and Brother Leonard talked about that in Sunday school, about Moses. He made excuses. He really didn't want to talk for God. So he's very much like us. So what I'm about to share with you in the Amplified Dennis Quisdella version is what Moses and God discussed. And like I said, it's probably the same discussions we tend to have with God too. We see Moses was minding his own business, and God asked Moses, "Hey, Moses! Hey, Moses!" Moses is out tending his... "Yeah, God?" He says, "Come here, buddy. Come here, friend." And so Moses says, "Yeah, God, what do you want?" And God says, "What do you have in your hand?" He says, "Well, I have my stick." He says, "Ah, oh, that's a nice stick you got there, Moses." He said, "Well, thanks, God. You know, I had it all my life, and I use this stick to tend my flock, and this is really my stick, and I want, I really enjoy this stick." And God says, "I want your stick." And Moses says, "You what?" God says, "I want that stick." And Moses says, no, God, no, this is my stick. See, I need a stick. Every good shepherd has a stick. And every good shepherd needs a good stick. And God, you know, this stick has been with me for a long time. And I've really gotten used to it, God. And so I really would appreciate, I really want to keep this stick, God. You see that forest over there? See all those trees over there, God? That forest has a whole heap of sticks in there, God. Well, why don't you go get your own stick? There, you can get a lot of sticks over there. This is my stick. Thanks anyway, but I'm going to keep my stick. Now, remember, a stick is anything that stops us from loving and serving God with all of our heart. And Moses is saying, "I've had this stick for a long time, God." And God says, "Yeah, I know, but I want it." He says, "You can't have it, God, because I'm comfortable with it. And it's been with me all my life. And you can go get your own stick in that forest over there, God. God, this is my stick." Sound like anybody you know? And God says, "But I want that stick." And Moses says, "God, you don't understand. I'm used to this stick. I really don't prefer any other stick. You can go in the forest and get your own stick, God. I want my stick. This is my stick. I've had it for a long time. It's comfortable. I want it." And God says, "Moses, I want your stick." "God, you don't understand. You go get your own. Moses, give me your stick. God, look, go get your own stick. This is my stick. Every good shepherd needs a good stick. I want this. Moses, give me this." Finally, Moses gives him the stick. And God tells Moses, "Throw it down." Moses says, "You want me to what?" He says, "Throw it down, Moses. Throw it down." Moses says, "Look, God, you want me to throw it down. You just want my stick, and now you want me to throw it down." He says, "Yeah, Moses, throw it down. Throw it down on the ground right there." So Moses threw it down. And what did it become? Talk to me tonight. Talk to me. What did it become? It became a snake, a serpent, a snake. Moses gave God his stick, and he threw it down, and it became a snake. Now, look with me at verse 3. What did Moses do after it turned into a serpent? He fled, right? And he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, a snake, and Moses fled from before. Sure he did. Sure he did. You know, we see where Moses was talking to a burning bush in the other chapter there, back there. And let me ask you, what would you do if a bush started talking to you? Do you know what I'd do? I'd keep it to myself. Ain't no one going to believe you anyway. Ladies, let me ask you this. What would you do if you saw a snake on the ground in front of you? You'd run. I would run. I'm deathly afraid of rodents. I'm deathly afraid of snakes. You know, in my travels a few years ago, I came home Sunday afternoon from being out on the road all week, and my wife is waiting for me in the driveway. And it's like, true story, this is a true story. She's waiting for me in the driveway. And I said, oh, isn't that sweet? She missed me so much. And so I put my bags down, my horns, and my suitcase. I said, honey, I love you. She goes, where were you this weekend when I needed you? I said, what happened? She said, we had a mouse. Now remember, I'm deathly afraid of snakes, rodents, right? And so I said, phew, well, I'm glad I wasn't home, you know? So we're watching. So she had me set traps in our ceiling, our suspended ceiling in our basement, okay? Because she heard these scurrying, you know, rattling. And so we're watching TV, and we heard, snap! I go, dang. And she said, did you hear that? I said, I didn't hear a thing. I'm watching intently the TV. She says, you didn't hear that? I said, no, I didn't hear that snap. She said, Dennis, go check those traps. I said, I'll do it tomorrow. She says, do it tonight. So I said, oh, man. So I get the little stepladder, and y'all know those suspended ceilings where you can shove it back and you can get up there? You know, you can poke your head up above the ceiling, right? I poke it up, and there's a mouse trapped with his hind legs. And when he sees me, he's doing this. He's trying to get away. And it's like, oh, man, couldn't you just die? I mean, why do you got to be wounded? Right? So I get my son Eric, who's home. He's out in L.A. now. He's a comedian out in L.A. But he was home at the time. And I said, Eric, come on, you got to help me. Because Eric, when I try and get the mouse, you know, he's trying to get away. Whoa. Who saw this in half here? I swear this was a longer, wider stage yesterday. So anyway, so he's doing this, right? And so Eric, he goes up on the other side of the mouse. And he's like playing, hey, mouse, mouse, mouse. And the mouse is looking at him. So then while the mouse is looking at Eric, I got these long needle nose pliers, right? And I got a plastic bucket. And it's like, I get the trap. And I pull it and I throw it in the bucket. And so the mouse is in the bucket going all the way around, you know. And so I'm walking up the steps, you know, because I'm the man of the house. I got that mouse. And my wife says, don't forget to save the trap. I just, save the trap? They're only a buck a piece. I'll buy you another one. She says, no. That, don't waste money. Just save the trap. Just let the mouse go. I go, you're kidding me. So I walked outside and there's a forest, like, you know, behind our... She wanted me to save the trap, right? The mouse, the trap, everything, you know, just goes. And I'm not going to, I'll give her a dollar. I'll buy her another trap. So I am deathly afraid of rodents, of snakes, okay? And so, ladies, I'm with you. And Moses was just like us. He fled, right? So remember, here's the Amplified Dennis Quazella version now. So Moses is out hiding now, right? Because it turned into a what? Snake. So Moses is minding his own business, and God comes by and he goes, hey, Moses! Moses! Hey, Moses! And Moses pokes his head up. Yeah, God, what do you want? He says, hey, Moses! Hey, come here, buddy. Come here, friend. Yeah, God, what do you want? He says, guess what? Guess what I want you to do? He says, what? He says, I want you to pick the snake up. You what? He says, yeah, I want you to pick the snake up. And Moses most likely said something like this. He said, God, I had a stick. You wanted that stick. I didn't want to give you that stick, but you kept on wanting it, so I gave you that stick. That's your stick. You see that forest over there? I'll go get another stick. Thanks. Thank you. That's your stick. You wanted it. And he said, no, 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 Moses, you can just pick it up, Moses. No, 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 you're crazy, God. I'm not going to pick that stick up. You wanted that stick. I didn't want to give you that stick, but you wanted it, so I gave you the stick. That's your stick. I'll go get another stick. And he says, no, 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 Moses, come here. God, you don't understand. I didn't want to give you that stick because every good shepherd needs a good stick. That was my stick. I didn't want to give you my stick. I wanted that stick for the rest of my life. Sounds like anybody we know. And God says, Moses, pick it up. He says, God, that's your stick. I'll go get another. Moses! Okay. 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 I'll pick it up. He says, yeah. Pick it up by the tail. Right? Is that what it said? And Moses said, the what? He says, the tail. Pick it up by the tail. And Moses says, God, I was watching the Animal Channel last night. And they had on the Cincinnati Zoo, and every serpent catcher on the Animal Channel always picks it up by the head. You never pick a snake up, God. I don't know if you knew this, but you never pick a snake up by a tail. You always pick it up by the head, because if you pick it up by the tail, God, you know, it could whip around and bite you. So you always got to pick it up by the head. So I'll pick it up. I don't want to. That's your stick, but if you want me to pick it up, I'll pick it up, but I'm going to pick it up my way. I'm going to pick it up by the head. He said, no, you're not. You're going to pick it up by the tail. He said, no, 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 God, you don't understand. Animal Channel says you don't pick it up by the tail. You pick it up by the head. He says, Moses, pick it up by the tail. God, look, you don't understand. God, I didn't want to even give you this stick, but it's yours now. You want me to pick it up? I'll pick it up, but I'm going to pick it up my way. I'm going to pick it up my way. Hope you're happy with it. I'm going to pick it up by that. Sounds like anybody you know? And he said, God says, no, Moses, listen, you're going to pick it up by the tail. And Moses finally relented. He finally gave in. And he picked it up by the tail. And what did it become? A what? You sure? You sure? It just didn't become a stick. It became God's stick. Because you see, after that, everything Moses did with that stick, he saw miracles happen. He saw the power of God happen. What does that have to do with revival? It has everything to do with revival. Remember what I said. A stick is anything or anyone that stops us from loving and serving God with all of our heart. Moses saw the power of God in his life when he threw down that stick and he picked up God's stick. What do you have in your hand tonight? A stick that is stopping you from loving and serving God with all of your heart. That stick could be anybody. That stick could be anything. Husbands, it could be your wives. Wives, it could be your husbands. Wouldn't it be great, wives, if you could throw down your husband and pick up God's husband? Man, wouldn't it be great to throw down your wife and pick up God's wife? Your stick that's stopping you from loving and serving God with all your heart could even be your children. It could be your job. It could be your hobby. It could be this church. It could be your pastor. It could even be me. But anything or anyone stopping you from loving and serving God with all of your heart is a stick in your life. And God wants you to throw it down and pick up God's stick. God can change whatever is blocking you from loving and serving him with all of your heart. God can change that, and you could see the power of God in your life. Your stick could be anything, anybody. A woman once said to me, Brother Dennis, pray for me. I'm trying to change my husband. I told her, I said, good luck. Because without the power of God, without her giving God her husband and letting God make the change, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. The biggest stick in life is, and I've mentioned this every night so far, is P-R-I-D-E, pride. That stick of pride stops some people from even seeing the gates of heaven. What about you here tonight? Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Or is that stick of pride stopping you from knowing the Savior, knowing the only one who could save your soul? There was a person that came up to me a few years ago and said, Brother Dennis, I don't have a stick. I have a wood pile. I told her, ma'am, throw down your wood pile and pick up God's wood pile. But for us to truly experience revival tonight, there are sticks in every one of our lives. I know that. There are sticks in our lives. We've had those sticks for a long time. We've had those sticks, whether they be children or spouses or jobs or grandchildren. Or there's things we want to hold on to by ourselves. And we'll do whatever we can to try and change that, change them by ourselves. When all we have to do is give them to God. Amen. Throw them down. Throw down those sticks and pick up God's sticks. Just like Moses, he saw miracles in his life. And if we want to experience revival tonight, we have to take those things that are stopping us from loving and serving God with all of our might, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being, and throw them down and pick up God's sticks. Tonight, I'm going to ask the piano to play an invitation song. Just go ahead, go up to the piano. And tonight, we're not going to sing an invitation song tonight, but think in your mind, what's stopping you from loving and serving God with all of your soul and being and heart? And if we truly want to experience revival, we know, I think we all know, if we're honest with ourselves, that God should come first in our life. If we allow God to come first in our life, everything else falls into place. Before I was saved, my number one passion, my number one stick in my life was my music. My music came before my God. My music came before my spouse. My music came before my children. If you can believe that, I was pathetic. But my music was number one in my life. And when I got saved, I threw down that stick of music and picked up God's music, God's stick of music. Well, only this time, my priorities fell in order. God came first. My spouse came second. My children came third. Church came fourth. Believe it or not, that's godly. And then my music. And I've seen miracles happen in my life, in my ministry, in my music. Because I threw down the one thing that was stopping me from loving and serving God with all my heart. What about you here tonight? If you're not experiencing revival tonight, perhaps it's because you have some sticks in your life that are stopping you from loving God and putting God first in your life. I ask each and every one of us to come to the altar. Think about what things might be in your life that are hampering you, that are stopping you from serving God, and lay them at the altar and give them to God. Give them to the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My friend, if you have the stick of pride that is stopping you from being saved tonight, throw that stick down. Come to the altar and meet with Pastor or myself, and we can show you how you can know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that heaven is your home one day. My friend, the rest of us who are saved here tonight, if we want to experience revival, the altars are open. Come with me and join me as we lay down these sticks that are stopping us from loving and serving God with all of our hearts. The invitation is now open.